Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down, and my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guarantee. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition, and of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JustNews. That's promo code JustNews at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JustNews for 15% off. Hello, America. Happy Wednesday, a busy news Wednesday. A lot going on. First, the House. The United States House of Representatives voted today for legislation that would require ByteDance, the Chinese company that owns TikTok, to divest of TikTok or to pull out of the American marketplace. A lot of young people using it. They're probably not going to be happy by this, but as you know, growing warnings across America that TikTok is causing strategic harm to the United States, psychological harm to our children. Not all conservatives voted for it, even though those even conservatives who strongly oppose China, there's a reason for that. One of those conservatives, Andy Biggs, is going to join us in a little bit and explain his vote. He voted against the legislation, but he does oppose what China's doing. He just thinks this legislation is too hasty, wasn't thought out, and isn't part of a larger countering China strategy. You're going to get that in the first half of this block. I'm really excited about that. In the second part of the show, it is AMAC Wednesday, right? You know that. You love AMAC. We have a lot of fun on AMAC Wednesday. And today, Bobby Charles is going to join us. He's going to talk about the TikTok vote. He's going to talk about the legacy of the Biden family and its China concessions, which a lot of people think makes the family compromise after all the millions they got from Chinese business interests. But we're going to cover that in the second part of the show. And I'm really excited about that because it's important. It is a significant debate we're having in America. It's a debate we've not had long enough or strong enough or robust enough or consistent enough. China is still growing in its strategic advantage over us. Now, that House vote is one of several big things that happened today. What are some of the headlines that we should keep an eye on? There's a lot of them. Protect the Public Trust, one of the new great watchdogs in Washington. We do a lot with them here at Just the News. They sued the Education Department today. Why? Because the Education Department, as a federal agency, won't turn over documents on a program it had that they've now pulled back, but they were going to pay students with your tax dollars to go out and register voters. Wait a second. Isn't that political activity funded by the United States government? Well, that's what the Protect the Public Trust thought, and that's why they filed the lawsuit. We've got that up. That story is breaking just a little bit ago by Madeline Hubbard, my great reporter here. We're so lucky to have her. Other big ones today. You might have felt the ground shake around 10 o'clock. You know why? This is a big one. It's a big one. I'm really serious. It's a big one. We have, for the first time, charges being dropped against President Trump in Georgia. The state judge who's presiding over the January 6th trial on state Georgia charges throughout, I think four of the charges is what it is. That's a big and unexpected development, and it comes maybe just a few days before the judge decides on whether Fani Willis should stay in charge of the case after having an affair with one of the prosecutors she hired specifically to prosecute Donald Trump. That was a really big moment today. And then the RNC is under new leadership, and you can tell right away, Michael Whatley, who we've had on this show many times, former North Carolina GOP chairman, general counsel to the Republican National Committee, he's now in charge along with Laura Trump, the daughter-in-law of President Trump. And today, the Republican National Committee did something that I think a lot of people are wondering why it wasn't done a long time ago. The Republican National Committee sued the Michigan Secretary of State, Secretary of State Benson, for failing to properly thin out the voter rolls and get dead people and people who moved out of state off the rolls. This is called voter roll maintenance. It's one of the big issues of election integrity. Michigan has been thumbing its nose for a long time at keeping clean voter rolls. Today, the Republican National Committee showed some life on election integrity, filed this lawsuit. I think it could be one of the big lawsuits that play out over the next few months, and a very, very important one as we take a look at these sort of important moments in our history. Another big one that we're keeping a close eye on today. Hunter Biden, he said he wanted a public hearing. Give me a public hearing. I'll show up. Well, they gave him a public hearing in the impeachment inquiry, and he declined to attend it next week. He doesn't want to sit alongside his business partners and answer questions. Obviously, the business partners and he have very different stories. But Hunter Biden's bluff was called by James Comer today. A really big and important moment in the impeachment inquiry. He didn't want to talk publicly. I wonder why. Other news, 12 Republican attorney generals led by the attorney general in Iowa wrote to President Biden urging him to halt sanctions relief for Iran. Stop letting money go to Iran. They're funding a lot of terrorism. That's what they're saying. That's a big and important message, but it's not always getting through. This may be the prelude to a lawsuit by these 12 attorney generals, all from Republican states. As you know, Iran is the proxy funder for groups like the Houthis that are attacking ships in the Red Sea, and Hezbollah and Hamas, which have attacked Israel from Lebanon and from within the Gaza Strip. Gaza, Hamas carrying out that horrific attack on October 7th, one of the most heinous crimes against humanity I've seen in my lifetime. So there are a lot of big moments going on throughout the day. We all want to stay on top of them. And I think that that's important. We're going to turn to Andy Biggs in a second. Before we do that, I want to turn to a group that is doing a lot in this country. And I want to talk about them every day this month until we can help raise the money for them that they need to make a difference in the world. Alliance Defending Freedom has been filing lawsuits trying to fight for your free speech, your religious freedom, two things that have been under great assault the last 4 or 5 years in America. They have two giant cases currently before the United States Supreme Court, and they are important ones, one involving a state's right to regulate abortion, the other involving the FDA's decision-making when it comes to young women, young girls in this country. Those are all historic cases. They're going to be decided this Supreme Court decision. They've been accepted by the Supreme Court this session, which ends in June. If you believe in free speech, if you believe in the free expression of faith, if you believe in a state's right to regulate abortion the way the Supreme Court recently ruled that it exists, there's an opportunity for you to make a difference, and that is to donate to ADF in the middle of these critical fights that they're having. To do so, go to joinadf.org/John. That's for my name. joinadf.org/John. Any amount will make a difference. $10, $20, $50, $100, whatever you can afford. They would like to raise $5,000 from Just the News John Solomon Report fans this month. I'd like to help them. We got until March 31st to do so. Jump in, make a difference today. Alliance Defending Freedom. If you want to learn about what they do, go to adf.org. If you want to make a quick donation, go to joinadf.org/John. joinadf.org/John. All right, folks. When we come back, Andy Biggs right around the corner. He'll explain the vote on TikTok and so much more after these messages. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit TNUSA.com/justnews. That's TNUSA.com/justnews.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back, folks, from the commercial break. If you were watching the Robert Herr testimony on Just the News, we were streaming it live, there was an extraordinary moment. I think the best moment of the hearing came when Congressman Andy Biggs really tried to pin down Robert Herr. Well, if you have proof of intention, if you have proof of willfulness, if you have proof that he was bragging, he knew he was sharing classified information with his ghostwriter, why isn't Joe Biden being prosecuted? And Robert Herr could not really come up with a good answer. Well, we're very lucky to be joined by the man who went through that interrogation. I think it's one of the most important parts of that hearing. Joining us right now from the great state of Arizona, Congressman Andy Biggs. Congressman, great to have you back on.
It's always good to be with you, John, and you're very flattering about the interview. Thank you.
It was a great moment. Right? Listen, we used it in the story because I think it drove home a point that a lot of Americans are wondering, why is Donald Trump charged and Joe Biden not? Were you satisfied with Herr's answer, or did it feel a little bit forced?
Well, I think the camera was on me as we finished up but if you would have seen his face, it read, and he was poker faced through most of the thing. At this moment, it looked like he was a little pained. I think he understood clearly that that there was intentionality, there was willfulness, there was purposefulness in not just having the documents, but revealing them and reading them to his ghostwriter. I think, which are all the elements of the offense. And I think at that point, I think we had won. When I saw his face, I felt, okay, that's pretty good. I wish that he could have translated the feelings that he was having right there to the American people, because I believe that he understood pretty clearly that that he might have whiffed on this one.
Yeah. It's funny. I've talked to a lot of prosecutors in the last few months about what I think is an unwritten, untold dynamic. And that is that since John Durham lost those two cases in D.C., which, by the way, were slam dunks, right? The evidence of lying, the evidence of interference was very clear. And yet two guys walk. And when you hear the jurors afterwards saying, oh, we thought they lied, but they don't think it's charging them over Donald Trump. There seems to be maybe a fear, an unwillingness for prosecutors, maybe because they're thinking about their political obits one day, to take tough cases into these cities where the biases and the jury pool are hard. Do you think that that is maybe a factor that's starting to weigh in? I mean, it's clear that Herr was a good investigator. He got to the facts, right? And the facts seemed to warrant a prosecution, but it seemed like he was afraid to pull that trigger.
Yeah, I would say just three quick points. Number one, you're right. He did I thought he did a pretty thorough investigative job. There are things I felt he should have branched out into a little bit more, but I'll give him this. He did a pretty good job for 15 months. Number two, I think you're right. In fact, many of us were talking in the room back behind the dais before and after about, you know, I'm sure this went to his decision making, and we didn't really get into it. We probably should have. That case probably would have ended up in Washington D.C. And there was no, and it would start. It wouldn't start till after Joe Biden's term of office, and it would go to a jury pool, or even a judicial pool that is hopelessly biased to the left in Washington D.C. And so I guess, and then that leads us to the third point. And it's so on the broader question that you asked, I do believe that the prosecutors look at the judges that are available and the jury pool that's available in making decisions, making charging decisions. I do think that weighs into it.
Yeah, it's an issue long term we're going to have to grapple with probably as a country, because fair jury pools are going to be important, particularly in controversial cases. And there have been some real questions about the makeup of these jury pools in some cases. And we're going to have more if the Trump cases ever go to trial. Speaking of Trump, a judge in Georgia threw out some of the charges today, winnowing down the case. We still got the big question of what is going to happen to Fannie Willis, which could have a profound effect on that case. You sit on the Judiciary Committee. You care about the fairness and the equality of the justice system you have, no matter who the defendant is. What troubles you? What do you think about the conduct we now know that Fannie Willis engaged in?
I find it absolutely disgusting, number one. Number two, I would say I'm stunned, frankly, that there is a moral vacuity there where she and Mr. Wade, her paramour, are so out of touch with moral and ethical values of a prosecutor of law, that they would think it's absolutely okay for them to be engaged in a meretricious relationship, to be lovers, and to think that that's not going to impact or influence their decision making process in this case. It's absolutely stunning, and quite frankly, not only should she be removed from this case, both of them, they both should probably be disbarred.
That could be a very likely outcome, couldn't it?
It could be. Yeah. It really could be.
Yeah, I think the behavior. There are moments when you're watching the judge, and the judge is clearly part of the Democratic establishment in Fulton County, but even he looked pained to see not only the evidence, but sometimes the excuses too. You could just tell, like, oh my God, this is not what we learned in law school, guys. Let's get over with this. It's pretty crazy. I think there's a second issue, and to me, it seems to be the most important issue for Congress to maybe get to the bottom of. So we know, all right, there's the affair, the misuse of the tax funds, and the question of a conflict of interest. But we know now there are two instances where the Biden White House had contact with prosecutors pursuing their chief political rival. A year ago, I broke the story of the memo that in which the National Archives clearly stated they got a referral from the White House counsel instructing them, go to the FBI and tell them about these documents you got back from Donald Trump. The White House counsel reporting to Joe Biden sicked the national, or had the National Archives, which reports to it, sick the FBI on Donald Trump. Now, that's one example. That's out. It's in writing. There's not any doubt that it happened. Now we have proof that the Georgia prosecutors say they had two meetings with the White House. We don't know why the White House would be meeting with Georgia prosecutors after they began an investigation of Hunter Biden. Do you think judiciary oversight, the great oversight work that we're all doing in Congress, the Republicans are doing, that we can get to the bottom of that? That there shouldn't be contacts between a White House and a prosecutor, should there?
Well, there really shouldn't be, and there's no reason. I mean, sometimes if you're doing the only reason would be like a media thing or some kind of conference, right? Because sometimes that happens. But in those things, the White House would be facilitating, but they would be ancillary to the meeting or the confab. But so I hope that we can get to the bottom of it. I mean, to be frank with you, there is so much, in my opinion, that's corrupt and going wrong with the institutions, Purdue, with this administration, that it's like whack-a-mole. Every time we think we're beaten on this one, we think we're making progress over here, and another bad piece of bad conduct or corrupt evidence of corruption pops up over here. And I would just say, don't forget that Jack Smith is reportedly went to the White House as well. So you've got all kinds of bizarre contact with the White House, and they're using prosecutions and civil cases as lawfare against Donald Trump. They believe he is such a threat to them. I just go back to the hearing from yesterday, the Hur hearing. John, there wasn't one Democrat that didn't bring up Donald Trump.
The
not
fact
one.
That they didn't ask any questions about Joe Biden. They were running ads against Donald Trump's reelection. It was really crazy, wasn't it?
It was. But I didn't mean to come full circle. But I mean, I've never seen a political party become so deranged like they are. They're unhinged when it comes to Donald Trump.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is. It is remarkable. He's been living rent free in their head for a long time. And I think now,
yes,
you see it. It's actually resulted in the hijacking of the justice system and the congressional system. I mean, the stuff that Loudermilk has brought out on J6, we now know we were just lied to in the conclusions of the J6 report. It is stunning.
Just a quick point on that. You know, they suppressed all the exculpatory evidence and they lied and they just kind of tried to drive a narrative, which is why they hired a Hollywood producer. But think about this. They subpoenaed two people, Peter Navarro and Steve Bannon, and a bunch of others, including me, and we didn't go. Peter Navarro is going to have to report to prison next week. And I just think that the whole thing was a sham. And we now know that perjury was committed because Cassidy Hutchinson was under oath when she talked about the driving incident. And so how in the world can that conviction of Peter Navarro and of Steve Bannon stand when you've got illicit committee, J6 committee going on?
Yeah, that is a question that probably gets litigated after Peter Navarro's already released from prison, which is the unfortunate thing. A lot of the truths, a lot of the corrections come long after the punishment's already been inflicted. And so much of this, I wrote this morning, but so much of the deception machine that we've all suffered from is not only Dem driven, all right? Hillary Clinton came up with Russia collusion. J6 came up with their narratives. Joe Biden and the 51 intelligence analysts. But so much of the false narratives that we had imposed on us were imposed with tax dollars, right? It's a congressional committee. It's the Justice Department, it's the FBI. How do we break that cycle?
Well, you only break the cycle if you actually do your 12 appropriations bills.
Good point.
and you get people who start saying, because when you do that, you can actually attack line items, you can attack programs and agencies, there's just the appetite here is ravenous to spend money, and the easiest way is with a continuing resolution. And so those of us who are trying to get at the bottom of this, we're being stifled by current leadership, past leadership, and hopefully not, but perhaps even future leadership.
Yeah, Congress says it wants to change, but it doesn't really want to change. It's easier to do it the old-fashioned way they've been doing it for the last 10 years. It's there. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. More of our exclusive interview with Andy Biggs right after these messages.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. More of our exclusive interview with Andy Biggs right now. There's a big question about whether we're going to keep the status quo or go forward on warrantless spying. And you have crafted, I think, one of the most important reforms to FISA that has ever been considered. Where are we in that process? Because the sand clock's ticking down on authority again. What do you think will happen?
I'm sad to tell you that I think that we're trying to get something ready in case they pull the trigger and try to go around us. But we think that ultimately that two things are happening. First of all, in this court system itself, the DOJ, CIA, the administration has asked to continue all the authorities for another year. I think that's going to be granted, which is bad. That's a bad thing. The second thing is I believe that the Speaker and Schumer are going to eventually just go forward with a clean reauthorization, and it'll probably be stuck on some other so-called must-pass legislation if they bring it to the floor at all.
Mm. And would that reauthorization go for 5 years or 1 year?
I think it'll go for 1 year because there's too many people on both sides of the aisle and both houses that want something done. And so if you tried to go beyond a year, I think that they would rebel against that.
All right. Well, that's unfortunate given all the hard work you did. What's amazing about the work you did, it was bipartisan. This was kind of thought out by both parties, and it would have really made a change.
It would have made a very big difference. We worked with everybody from Senator Wyden, who's Democrat, and Senator Lee, who's Republican, Pramila Jayapal and Zoe Lofgren and Jerry Nadler, even, who are Democrats here, and then a bunch of Republicans. And so a lot of bipartisan and bicameral support. And I'll just tell you, John, if we would have been able to take that bill to the floor, 5 weeks ago,
yep,
now?
It would have passed, right?
It would have passed. Would have passed.
The leadership knew it would pass, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
It's status quo is so hard to change in this town. I want to finish up with one thing. Just a little while ago, Congress passed a bill to force ByteDance, the Chinese company, to either sell TikTok or move out of the U.S. market. That's essentially the outcome of this. You are one of the most fervent China hawks. You are always concerned about the infiltration that China is having on our society and our government, on our economy, the failure to solve the outsourcing, all the things we had to deal with. But you voted against this. Describe your thinking, because I know you have thought this through, and this is like a tiny little thing where we need a bigger solution, right?
Yeah, exactly. And quite frankly, the bill wasn't great, okay, because they did it in about 2 weeks' time and crammed it and ran it to the floor. So there were some flaws just in the application and the bill itself. I believe there's some holes there that would have unintended consequences where they can perhaps go after maybe even U.S. companies. But by and large, if you're going to really accept that China is perhaps our biggest geopolitical adversary, then maybe what you do is you have a more holistic approach and you come down and you sell it to the entire Congress and the American people, and you do something more than facilitate. So we still have massive transfer, what I call transfer payments to China. Every month, it's terrible. And number two, they control our supply chain because we let them. We've become dependent on China, and this administration continues to do that, from everything from critical mineral development to oil and gas. And although we're not dependent on China for oil and gas, but they have bound us up regulatory wise so that we remain dependent on China. They've facilitated the imposition of Chinese into Mexico. So right now, for instance, if you were to go to a drug cartel chemical lab, which is producing fentanyl, there's a Chinese chemist there at every lab. That's been reported to me. So the bottom line is, if you want to take an approach to it, let's take a holistic approach. And let's go after it. Now, I'll tell you what the other ramification is. Let's say that, because what TikTok really effectively is they're a data company, right? So what will happen with that data? Because since right now
they already own it, they already got it, right? Yeah.
Yeah, they own that data. So that data is already there for 170 million Americans and more probably. So the actual physical servers are supposedly in Silicon Valley. Well, whoever buys it will own it, and since they don't care whether the U.S. federal government gets that data and spies on you, that's what will happen. There'll be a transfer of the data that's there on those 170 million to the U.S. government. And so I look at it and I say, well, it's ironic to me that I can't get them to move on the FISA reforms, but they're basically going to put into the hands of the federal government additional data points because it will be available from marketers of that data. And that's, to me, is just, it was kind of baffle-headed, and so maybe it wasn't the best approach.
There is a bigger strategy. And I think that's one of the things when you're facing a geopolitical enemy of the power and size of China, it has to be a strategic plan that addresses 2030 fronts, because that's how China's been fighting this covert war for years. And we seem to take a little nick here, a little nick there, and we haven't had a strategic plan since Donald Trump left. Do you like the Trump plan, the plan that Donald Trump talks about on the campaign trail, the one he was starting to implement in 2020?
Yeah, I do. He understands pretty clearly that while China is philosophically and culturally an adversary, what fuels them is their ability to operate economically. And if you can squeeze them economically and squeeze them on tech transfer, those types of areas, you've got leverage over them. And so when you start saying, okay, we're not going to allow as many Chinese students to come over here on student visas, that's good stuff. And you have to be very careful. I mean, I was in a graduate program, believe it or not, in international relations, and we had a good bevy of Chinese students there. And I'm like, well, you mean to tell me that you can't get a PhD in international relations in China, and you're coming over here to Arizona to do that? So the point is, what he was trying to do was a more holistic approach to try to get China where they live and constrain them and put some walls up that would actually hinder them, some barriers up, some speed sticks to what China wanted to do.
Yeah, it's remarkable that there were some real opportunities to come up with a strategy. I think it happens. It happens in the next presidency, if there's a change in presidents. It'll be interesting. On that last note, we're going to make public tomorrow a lot of documents showing that Hunter Biden's business partners were working on a deal where they would help communist China through CFC, the energy company, try to get a hold of the blueprint or the technology that put Westinghouse in America on the forefront of a new generation of nuclear reactors, smaller, cheaper, safer, less uranium-using reactors. This is an innovation that American led, and Hunter Biden and his business partners were having conversations and developed a whole plan. We're going to put the whole plan out tomorrow. It's like a 50-page plan. There's a lot there, but I think you guys have seen so much evidence that Hunter Biden was willing to help China as long as it came with a paycheck. Is that sort of the growing body of evidence that you're seeing in that case?
Unrefuted, yeah, just absolutely, unrefutably, that's true. The Biden family was all about money. There was no sense of honor or no sense of protection of the country. It was to protect the brand and that which was the Biden name, Joe Biden. But yeah, it was all about money. And we saw it everything from yesterday to all of Hunter Biden's business transactions revolved around money. And I will say this: I don't know if I've ever seen grifters more than the Biden family. Hunter Biden, think about this, John. The deal you're talking about would have brought I don't know how much money into the Biden family. But he owes money all over the place. People, for whatever reason, they just lend Hunter Biden money.
That's crazy.
I can't imagine why they would do that, but they seem to lend him money.
Yeah.
And some of that money always ends up back with Joe Biden.
Yeah, it's a remarkable day. It is one of the greatest influence peddling scandals in American history. It's jaw-dropping in its size and also in its audacity. It really is something. Well, we know so much of it because of the great work you've done on the committees that you serve on. So it's such a great honor to have you on today. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks, John. Thanks for all you do. I mean, I told a group of people Saturday, they say, what do you go to? I said, I go to justthenews.com every day.
And, that means a lot to me.
Them to, yeah. I told them they need to go there because the information is real.
Yeah, we're honored, and you've been a truth teller. It's funny, everywhere I go in the country now, people don't, all they want are the facts. Just give us the truth, we'll figure it out. And they know they have been getting the truth. You've been one of those people helping to solve that problem. And it's a great honor always to have you on the show.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
All right, folks, we got one more good one to go. It's AMAC Wednesday. You know what that means. Bobby Charles is going to join us in just a second. We'll talk about all the things, including my story this morning about the taxpayer-funded, Democrat-driven narrative machine that has misled America since Russia collusion and many times since, most recently on January 6th and on Robert Hur's investigation. We'll have that in just a second.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. It's Wednesday, so you know what it is. It's AMAC Wednesday, a great conversation we have every week at this time with our good friends at the Association of Mature American Citizens. As you know, I'm a proud five-year membership member. I love this. I didn't join a service. I joined a community of patriots, and there are so many benefits, as you know. One of them is getting discounts when I travel. Every time I go to a hotel, I pull out my AMAC card. I get a great discount on rental cars, on insurance. There's so many great things. But my favorite part about the AMAC community is that you engage with patriots who care about this country, who are talking about the issues that need to be talked about, who are calling aces aces and spades spades, no longer falling for a lot of the mistruths in this country. And one of our favorite of our colleagues at AMAC is our good friend, Bobby Charles, one of the most learned guys I've ever met in this great town of Washington, D.C. And he joins us right now. Bobby, great to have you on the show.
John, it is always great to be with you and try to, you know, refine where the compass needle has gone today.
And it's always, these days, the compass is always wagging all over the place. It's a topsy-turvy time in America. I want to jump in on a subject that you and I have talked a lot about offline. And I think last night I tried to pull it together into a bigger piece. But if you take Russia collusion, you take the Biden scandals, you take the Hunter laptop and the fake letter that was put out there, and you take the January 6th committee, which were four pretty big episodes in American history last 6 years, there's a common theme. We were misled on the original storylines, and most of that misleading were done by institutions that use our tax dollars and also have learned the art of intelligence from our government. You have intelligence analysts, you have the FBI, you have the NSA, you've got the Justice Department, and of course, in the January 6th committee, and in many ways, in the Russia collusion story with good old Adam Schiff, you had the United States Congress imposing falsehoods on the American people. How extraordinary is that in the history of this country? And two, what's the antidote? Is there a way to stop this, or are we going to have to live with this reality for the rest of our lives?
Well, let me start with them in reverse. We can, in fact, stop it, and we have to stop it for the preservation of the republic. So what you're pointing out, John, is something that I've thought about for a while, and it's disappointing and it's discouraging, and it's something that we would have imagined that a fellow Americans wouldn't do. But when you are in the intelligence community, and I was for 10 years, and you learn skill sets, or you look at how foreign actors behave and you try to defend against those foreign actors. So as an example, you know, China and frankly, all of our adversaries are deeply involved in what we call generally denial and deception. And they're really deeply involved in information warfare. They push things at us all the time, not the things that you're commonly thinking of. They push things out there that are subtle, that try to misdirect or distract or deceive the average American into believing things that we shouldn't believe. So you have to, I mean, the first most important thing everybody does is you have to be doubly critical nowadays of what you're hearing and making sure you're hearing the right thing. But what disturbs me the most and what I've been thinking about, and you pointed out in an article yesterday, is really in some ways, John, what's happening is these skill sets that we have trained people, including the FBI, all the law enforcement community, the intelligence community, and even some of our political actors, people on intelligence committees up at the, you know, on the Hill, we have briefed them, taught them how we deal with adversaries abroad. And what's happened is they've taken those skill sets and they've turned them inward on the American people, and in particular on an opposing political party. I have never seen that happen before. And I think it's very dangerous because, of course, when you create a wave that is going the opposite direction, all your adversaries ride that wave. Everybody takes advantage of the fact that you have a political party essentially decimating or trying to the other political party. And when I say that, what I mean is you're decimating truth is what you're doing. You're taking the notion that Biden, for example, could give a speech and call more than 70 million people who had voted for Donald Trump enemies of the people. Well, that's a phrase that is lifted directly. If you don't trust me, go look at it. It's lifted directly out of the French Revolution and the Bolsheviks. And so it puts a terrible sort of shiver down your spine. And then you think about, you know, what that State of the Union just did, John. It, you know, as someone said to me, all you had to do is put a little mustache on that guy and you could close your eyes and see a different world. And the problem is when you start to demonize and then use tools that are used, that are traditionally used to defend the country, you begin to use them in a political context against other Americans, you have corrupted the entire process. You have put poison in the water. So can we get it out? Yes, we can. And we have to be diligent about that. And one way, God willing, is to have high integrity leaders who say, we treat Americans like Americans and non-Americans like non-Americans and adversaries like adversaries. And we don't mix and match. And so that's what we're up against. And I think your article was excellent. And I encourage people to go to amac.us and read it.
Yeah, that was one of the fun things. We did this in concert with AMAC. So my article actually showed up on AMAC before it showed up on Just the News. It was a really fun experiment. And just one of the many ways that we all work together to help Americans appreciate the truth and getting to the truth, because it's been hard the last 6 years. And one of the things I said in the story, and I hear this everywhere I go, when I'm going to get outside of Washington and you get to meet real people, you hear this over and again, God, I feel so whipsawed. I was told there was Russia collusion. Then there wasn't. I was told Hunter Biden laptop was a Russian disinformation. It wasn't. I was told that Donald Trump commandeered the limousine. It wasn't. People are kind of whiplash. They're kind of getting tired of having to be misled so many times and on such extremes. I mean, the flips are so dramatic. Is there a boy cry wolf phenomenon underway now where Democrats aren't going to have the credibility because they've pulled off too many of these whiplash stories?
Well, yes. I mean, John, I think it's already happened. I mean, what happens is if you could do a statistical analysis, but when people begin to see that the new norm is untruth and hysteria and government control and essentially demonizing your political opponent, the next time that happens, their level of doubt is considerably higher. And the next time it happens, their level of doubt is even higher. And what's happened is, it's really remarkable from a sociological point of view, is the Democrats have destroyed their own brand. Because what they've done is they've created the expectation now, or the presumption. And of course, there are people who live and breathe CNN or some of these leftist outlets as if they're a religion. But except for those people who really do evaluate their day-to-day life based on as close as they can get to real facts, what you end up seeing is people are now expecting to find the next thing that gets said may well be untrue the moment it's said. And you can see that with the way that they treated the attorney Robert Hur up on the Hill yesterday. Here's a guy who did what he thought he should do. And I actually have met this guy. I think he's a former U.S. attorney. He's a very, very level-headed. Yeah, he's a level-headed. He's from Maryland, and Maryland, I would almost call him more of a Democrat than a Republican because of his general disposition. And I think he clerked for one of the Supreme Court justices. You know, this is a guy who's a level head and a straight shooter. And yet here's Schiff and half the Democrats trying to demonize him. And I think to myself, you know, you really, the lady doth protest too much. At a certain point, your level of
there was a little bit of that going on yesterday, wasn't there?
Yeah, it just was too much. And so the average person, John, you and I in many ways are not that much different from the average person, the people I know, who look at things, they're a little sick and tired of all this, but they evaluate it and their assessment of human nature, with or without a college degree, is exactly the same. They look at this, they know human nature, And they say to themselves, nah, this guy's lying to me. And that's what's going on here again and again.
They can see it a mile away.
Yeah, they can.
They saw that in Georgia. I think they looked at Fannie Willis and their paramour and others like, that doesn't add up. I don't believe that. And it's so funny because the Democrats actually think they can bamboozle the American people. I think they have a low regard, but American people are perceptive and smart, aren't they?
You have put your finger on the most significant thing of all, I think, and that is that nobody uses this denial and deception against the American people or lies boldly to your face unless they think that they're smarter than you are. And that's what they think. They think they can lie straight out. You know, Biden can tell you that he has reduced inflation in America. Well, that's not true because it's at 3.2%, which is twice what it was in January of the year 2021 when you took office. No, it's not at 9%, which it was in August of 2022 because you shut down the oil sector and you overspent by $8 trillion. It is down from August of 2022, but it's twice what it was when Americans went to the grocery store in January of 2021. And frankly, I know enough people at AMAC and well beyond AMAC in a little town I live in who that doubling of their prices is almost existential. It's to Joe Biden with his damn Corvette in his garage and with all his documents, it doesn't mean anything. But to the average American, it means a lot.
Yeah, it is. You're right. You know, the most interesting thing about inflation, yes, I was digging into this last night, is that the most basic staple of life is the thing driving inflation. Having a home with heat. The two most costs were housing and energy, particularly related to heating or cooling your home. The idea that he built an economy that would put in jeopardy the most important thing that we spend money on every month is a paradox to what he promised us when he said he was middle-class Joe. There seems to be that Americans, no matter how many times Joe Biden says the economy is great, people know when they pay their rent, when they pay their utility bill, when they go to the grocery cart, Joe Biden's not telling them the truth, right?
Well, you're right. And you know, John, in many situations, a politician inherits circumstances that they can't control. So, you know, when Richard Nixon made bad choices when it came well beyond Watergate, when it came to things like wage and price controls. But by and large, the circumstances of the world affected that. This is a rare situation in which the line is absolutely straight. The groceries that show up in your grocery store are grown with fertilizer that depends upon actually petroleum. They are transported to the grocery store for that purpose. Even if they were all electric vehicles, that the power grid is 3/4 or more run by fossil fuels and always will be. And so what you've done is by shutting down the energy sector, a huge chunk of the energy sector, fossil fuel related, and by overspending by $8 trillion, that is to say money, we do not have the money to have spent what they spent, with the result that you get annual deficits and you get a $34 trillion national debt. All of this, the inflation that comes out of that, then generates high interest rates that are now at a 22-year record and not likely to come down. Lagged interest rates mean we may face a recession within the next few months. And, you know, interest rate lag effects. So the bottom line here is these are things that Joe Biden and the Democrats generated. These aren't an asteroid that hit us and drove inflation and interest rates through the roof. This is something that was utterly controllable. And by the way, Donald Trump, who cut taxes, who cut spending, who redirected toward the national defense, and this budget that Biden's put forward is just it's an abomination. I mean, it's the budget that came out a couple of days ago, it cuts defense methodically over 10 years while dramatically upticking government control over everything else and spending on things we don't need. So all I'm really trying to say, John, is these things are not accidents. They are the product of bad, at best, they are the product of bad decision making. At worst, they are an ideologically driven effort to concentrate power in the federal government.
That's a great point. It is. And that's, I think Americans are waking up to that reality and now beginning to repudiate it. They feel victimized by all of these mistruths that were imposed on them. I want to turn to one thing. We got about a minute left. I want to talk a little bit about the vote that just happened in Congress. The House did vote to pass the law that would force ByteDance to either divest TikTok or pull out of the U.S. market. And it's an interesting conglomeration because there are some very strong China hawks, people like Andy Biggs, who we just had on the show, who voted against it. Their argument is, hey, we want to take on China, but this is like a piecemeal approach. Let's go bigger and do it all together because China is just going to move the assets around and take the data. Your thoughts on the move towards TikTok and a TikTok ban, and also maybe the lack of a larger China strategy?
Yeah, I think that second point is perhaps the bigger one. Look, I remember if it was Shakespeare or someone that said, a rose by any other name is still a rose. Well, a thorn by any other name is still a thorn. And TikTok, may today be gone as TikTok and come back tomorrow as TalkTik. I mean, it's that piece doesn't, but the bigger point that you make, and it is so important, is you must understand the reemergence of what I'll call big power politics and the significance of having really mortal enemies. And unfortunately, Iran, Russia, China have crafted themselves as our mortal enemies. We had an open door to the idea that the world order that was even-handed would benefit everyone. And China has put themselves in a position where they're laying in 1,000 ICBMs. They're dominating. They're trying to dominate all their neighbors. They're trying to dominate Europe. They're trying to dominate Africa. They're trying to dominate South America. And at a certain point, you have to say, look, what is your 1, 5, 10, 25-year plan? How are you going to address the fact that you have a country, a system, a communist system that, like the Soviets, sees themselves as destined for dominance over you? How are you going to methodically take the pillars out from underneath that dock? And you're going to have to work that. We're going to have to be working that in a bipartisan way for decades. So that's the gist.
Yeah, I mean, you said so well. And you were in the State Department. You know how strategies, if you go a whole of country strategy, way more effective than one-offs. It's going to be a really extraordinary debate over the next few weeks to see what happens.
And the only thing I just want to add briefly, 10 seconds, John, is this. Abraham Lincoln said the best way to beat your enemy is to convert them. I would love to believe that the way that Ronald Reagan essentially was able to flip the Soviets by virtue of respect for the people, that over some number of years, it is possible that the communists will kind of run their taper out. And there will be freedom again. There will be freedom in that country. It would be nice to see.
Yeah, it certainly worked during Perestroika. The Chinese are a little more determined sometimes, but there is such an opportunity. But it takes a whole of country approach. And we've been so piecemeal. In fact, some of our best weapons, like the China initiative, got shut down by Joe Biden, up frustrating the FBI, who was, monitoring a lot of the Chinese spies. So it's going to take a new president, I think, to come up with that.
John, you don't think that's because of the change in the volume of Chinese money in his bank account?
Oh, who would be so jaded to think that? Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. And I think a lot of other people do. Listen, we're going to have a story tomorrow that is going to knock people's socks off on one of the projects not yet reported that Hunter Biden and his partners were working on to help a Chinese communist company get a hold of our best nuclear reactor plants, a place where we had innovation. They were glad to sell it to help it get China. We're going to break that story with documents tomorrow. But, oh, my goodness. Yes, I do. I do. I'm right with you on that one. And I think all the great members of AMAC do, too. Folks, if you love what Bobby does every week, and I do, go join AMAC. Join the community that he and I am. It's a community. It's a neighborhood. It is a movement. It isn't a service, though you get a lot of benefits. A monthly magazine, a weekly podcast, this weekly conversation, daily news, and, of course, daily discounts. I just got back from a trip. I whipped out my AMAC card 3 times on the trip. I got 3 discounts, more than paid for a 5-year membership. All you got to do to take advantage of that right now, we got a very special offer running this month. Go to amac.us/justnews. Here's the deal. You'll get your discount. You'll pay for your membership and you'll be able to gift one for free to someone else. So you're going to get 2 for the price of 1 this month. What a great idea. Maybe you got a birthday coming up. Maybe you got a Father's Day, Mother's Day gift. Great gift. AMAC membership, because it lives on for a long time, just like these conversations we have with Bobby does. We take a lot from it, and they resonate more than just the few minutes we have here. Go join today at amac.us/justnews. You're going to get a free membership you can give to someone else if you sign up today. That is a great deal. It's a gift that keeps on giving. Bobby, thanks again. We love having you on, and next week we'll have a whole lot more news to talk about, I'm pretty sure.
Always a pleasure, John. Thank you.
Yeah, you're a great patriot. We love having you on this show. Thank you so much. All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports, a podcast from Just the News. Hey, a couple big things to really work on today. If you want to help Alliance Defending Freedom in their pursuit of important landmark free speech, free faith, free religion rights in America. Go to joinadf.org/John today. Make a small donation, a big donation, whatever you can afford. We're trying to raise $5,000 for them for the end of the month. And of course, join AMAC. This month is pretty cool. As Bobby Charles told you, you get a free extra membership to give as a gift to a friend, a relative. It's a great birthday gift, a great Father's Day gift, a great Mother's Day gift. If you go to amac.us/justnews anytime before the March 31st, you'll buy your own membership, get a free one for someone, a loved one, a friend, an acquaintance, and a colleague. What a great thing that the great folks at AMAC are doing for us today. It's just not for seniors. It's for everybody. Anyone who's a patriot in America can join, as Bobby Charles said. Go to amac.us/justnews now to join. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. We're going to have a big exclusive story in the next 24 hours. Hunter Biden working with China on something else. He and his business partners had a plan to transfer or help move sensitive technology to China. We're going to get that tomorrow sometime, hopefully in time for the podcast. Until then, God bless you. Have a great night. We'll be back with you with regular programming tomorrow. At Just the News, we break the stories others in the media ignore or are too afraid to tell. We did it on Russia collusion, Hunter Biden, and the security and intelligence failures that preceded January 6th. Our stories have real impact and reach because we stick to the facts. I'm John Solomon. You can help me expand our honest, unvarnished, and unbiased reporting by becoming a premium member at Just the News. You'll get an ad-free experience and exclusive member-only access to events, and you'll be helping us dig up more truth. Join today at justthenews.com/subscribe.